Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Found the Instagram of who we were talking about off
okay,
the air.
Okay, well,
oh
we got to get through this segment, and we got to get to the next commercial. 216-578-0092. I'm kidding about that. All right. So yesterday was bad. Yesterday was a... Kid, get back at your board,
no, come
okay?
over here.
Steer the ship.
Kid.
We'll be over there in a sec. Owen, get back in there.
Here she is in a bikini.
You guys are pigs. You guys are serious pigs.
I mean, that's a game changer.
That is.
Congratulations,
wow.
Young man.
Good job.
Congratulations
wow.
to you. You know what? Congratulations to you, Chang, for his first Major League Baseball home run. And if you can go ahead and paint in the numbers, you go right on ahead and enjoy what Lime is talking about right there.
Very nice.
Good for him. Okay.
All right.
Talk a little bit more about the Indians.
Yeah, you lost
the
me for
coming
this
up
segment.
In an hour. So, yesterday was bad. Yesterday was real bad for the Browns. Freddie Kitchens had his press conference yesterday. Said that, and boy, there's you just got to go out and win next Monday because there's nothing he can say that's going to make anybody feel any better. He talked yesterday where he said, you know, that's one game. You can't overreact to one game. And people were going, well, wait a minute. He said 7-8-1 is unacceptable. Now he's just saying it's just one game. No, 7-8-1 is a 16-game schedule. You only played one game. And if they go out and they beat the Jets by 3 touchdowns on Monday, if they go out and do that, that's going to feel like 2 or 3 or 4-1 instead of 1-1. Because then, okay, we got the ship righted. Now we're ready to take on the LA Rams on Sunday night. I think a lot of people will feel that way. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. We'll see how it turns out on Monday. So for Sunday, I know that it was bad. I don't think it really changed a lot of minds this year. Do you? What was your prediction before this
yeah,
season?
Yeah, so we did this for the website, and we posted it. We had it on our Instagram, 923TheFan Instagram page. Speaking of Instagram, I had them at 9-7, and I know that that was lower than most. I saw some of the national shows were pulling up the Cleveland.com writers and were making fun of them for all their lofty expectations. I mean, Doug LaMarie said 12-4, I think.
Who was making fun of them?
Some national shows. They
Why?
Were like, because they lost, because the Browns lost one game. But they, you know, obviously people thought the Browns were going to be
really
good.
Are they going to go 0-16 again?
No, I know.
Exactly.
I'm just saying it was time to make overreactions to week one, the NFL. And hey, Bull did a great job going through recent years and how week one
yes.
means nothing. Trent Dilfer, we had him on yesterday. He
the
said, guys,
Saints,
the first four games are not
yes.
real football
the
yet.
The Saints gave up 48 points to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week one last year and then turned around and nearly lost to the Browns at home.
Didn't the Bengals look great last year, week one?
Yes.
They look great.
They look great for the first month.
They did. They were I think they were 4-2.
Yes.
So obviously there were overreactions. I had them at 9 wins, so I can't change my win total. If I had them at 9, I thought they would lose some games they weren't supposed to lose. I thought they'd win some games maybe they weren't supposed to win. I think if you had the Browns at 11, you probably got to get off that number. I think if you had them at 10.
I had them at 10.
Okay. I think 10 is
did
right.
I think I did.
Now, that means, now obviously, the second half of the schedule looks great right now for the Cleveland Browns.
Amazing. I conveniently forgot that right after the loss to Tennessee.
Well,
go ahead.
That's how it works. So, if you had him at 10, then you need him to go 10-5 the rest of the way, right? I mean,
yeah.
That's
yeah,
it.
They need to win 2 out of every 3 games.
And that's not
forward.
Easy. That's
no.
not easy. And obviously, you know, games in your division are going to be tough, not just going to be walkthroughs. I think people thought Browns would have some walkthrough games. Maybe they will. But...
I mean, basically,
you can't change everything based on this.
Well, exactly. And so if you were saying, because I told you, my goal, 9-7 get in the postseason. I think a lot of people thought of this like they think of Ohio State. Like Ohio State, you lose one game, the world's coming to an end. These are NFL football teams. And I told you months in advance. Now, I get some things wrong, Antonio Brown. I get some things wrong, but I have gotten a couple of things right there. And I think that a lot of people over the 9-month offseason, when you go get Odell Beckham Jr., when you go get all these other things that people are excited about, is that you have a guy or you have a team that you think is just going to bowl over everybody. Well, now you go from a team that was circled on a calendar as a win to a team that now has a target on its back. You're playing big boy football now. So you're going to get, there's no sneaking up on everybody. So you're going to get a bunch of great examples of what big boy football means. And I brought it up at the very beginning of the show. What happened on Sunday was a talented group of young players, a talented group of kids got beat by grown men. You're a better roster, but you don't have that experience. And Tennessee had experience of saying discipline, being able to go through what they need to do to execute, and then eventually stoning you out at the end of the football game. The Browns, you had Baker Mayfield started playing. Bill Barnwell said it the best. He started playing hero ball in the fourth quarter. It led to the turnovers. It led to silliness. You had an emotional round of play calling, which that will always make me fearful. I can't deny anything like that. But you had a lot of things that didn't go your way. Well, you're going to have to rebound coming up. But the talent on the field right now, I would believe that you'd be able to rebound and be able to regroup getting ready for Monday against the Jets. So I'll stick with 10-6. I think it's 10-6, and I thought it was before. And as you get better, hopefully next year it gets even better than that. And hopefully, obviously, the year after that, it gets even better than that, too.
I want to hear from the fans. 216-578-0092. It's only one game. We know not to overreact. I want to hear what you thought they'd do before that game and if you've changed your mind at all. Because I saw a lot of fans going nuts. I just feel, I don't know what it is, Kenny. This is such a great football town. We know that. But I think fans haven't watched the NFL the way that a winning team's fan base would watch the NFL, which means I don't think the Patriots overreact. They're fans. I don't think they overreact when they lose
their
game. I don't
think but they have experience. When the Patriots first started out with this current dynasty, with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, remember they wanted to fire Bill Belichick at the beginning of 2001.
Yep.
They did want to fire him. I think they started off 0-2 that season, and they wanted to fire that guy. So they didn't have experience then. So it wasn't like they were always cool, calm, and collected about everything that was going on with the franchise. Now you have 20 years and know that, yeah, you know what? You're probably going to embarrass yourself at the beginning of the year somewhere, like they did before with the Chiefs a few years ago and everybody thought Brady was done, or like they even did last year. So there's going to be a couple of games like that. The beginning of the season, I hate doing this because every game counts, but it has rung true. And Trent Dilfer said yesterday, it becomes a big part of the preseason, which is the regular season. So I think that you have to stick to your guns. If you pick the Browns to be, 13-3, maybe you got to adjust that a bit. But if you pick them at 10-6 or 9-7 or even 11-5, I think you stick by your guns there because they're a talented football team. Let me get to Tim in Fairport Harbor. You're first up on the Fan. We have Tim.
Hello. How are you, Tim? Welcome to the show.
Morning, Tim. Well. Go ahead.
You know what was more terrifying than the football game Sunday?
Oh, what was that?
The press conference yesterday. I swear to God, that was like Hugh Jackson with a southern twang to his speech.
Tim.
How in the world are you going to sit there and tell me that that game totally falls on you and you got to coach guys up? I'm going to give you one example of how coaching guys up isn't going to work. Your right tackle, Chris Hubbard, looked like a tackling dummy out on the practice field. On one play.
Well, he's playing left tackle, too.
He gives up a sack, a safety. His quarterback almost gets his ribs broke on that sack by falling into a backup guard named Lamb, who didn't return to the game because he got rolled up on.
Lamb was playing one play. One breakdown play
is 2 points back, almost into your quarterback. Roll up on your guard and take him off the field where you're already weak on the offensive line. Then you want to come out to your press conference and tell me, calm down, we're going to get better, it's only one game, it falls on me, and I'm going to coach them up. That is Hugh Jackson, guys. I'm out.
He said, wait a minute, hold Tim. Tim, he said that on Sunday after the game. Why'd you hang up? He said it on Sunday after the game. Hell, it felt like he let the whole town down the way he was talking.
Let's be honest, there's no press conference that would have made anybody feel better after that.
There's really none.
There's nothing you can say. Nothing you could do. I mean, I hear coaches go both ways. I've heard, Adam Gase was dodging all the criticism after that game with the Jets, their opener, which they squandered a 16-0 lead.
Which we had a crazy caller yesterday about Sam Darnold being so better where he took part of 4 turnovers.
Yeah.
In that Sunday loss to the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, listen, I see other coaches that say it's all on me. I got to coach it better. I got to coach it way better. Fine. None of it makes you feel better, though. None of it. There's nothing you can say in a press conference after you lose by 30 and your team gives up in the fourth quarter. In your opener, the fans were so excited for that opener, most anticipated opener in so long, and they laid that kind of a dud. There's nothing you can say.
We get to Howard and North Royalton. You're next up on the Fan. Go ahead, Howard.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Let's all settle down. All the fans settle down. I picked the Browns 9-7 to go 9-7 this year, and I still stick to that. However, if we're looking at 7-8-1, I called you guys earlier a few months back. That's increasing NFL wins by 28%. Now, did we put enough on the roster to up our wins by 28%? I think we did, but let's not all get carried away. You know what? Think about what happened. If you really go back and dissect this game, you really think about what happened. You got a team, the Titans, 3 years in a row. They're running 9-7, 9-7, 9-7. They're very experienced. They're very good at what they do.
Yep.
We're running 7-8-1, have not played together in a long time. I mean, ever, really. And so you're really thinking about what is the net result. And, you know, I'm not a better, but I like looking at the odds, and I like having fun with my sons and people at work and things of that nature. And you know what? I looked at the spot, and I'm thinking, how in the hell can Tennessee get 5.5? And if you think about not only did the Cleveland fans buy in it, but the sports books bought into it as well. I mean, 5.5 and under 45. I took the 5.5. The only thing I erred on was the under, right? I picked the under because I thought all the offenses this time of year would be out of whack, you know, and they wouldn't be scoring. But let's not get too excited.
All right.
But lay it out.
And Howard, honestly, yeah, I think you're right, and thank you very much for the call. But honestly, I think both offenses were still out of whack. The Browns just gave more opportunities there with a short field and obviously gave up a pick six, too. But Howard, I think you're right on about that. 216-578-0092 to Sunday change your win total for 2019. Zach Jackson coming up at 9. We'll update the Would You Rathers in 45 minutes live on the Fan.
It's amazing. It's only one game. I get that. But we don't know how good the Titans are, so that's what makes this kind of fascinating because I think the Titans are – again, going to be hovering around 7-9, 8-8. Now, I mean, I think Marcus Mariota is a guy where you get enough film on him for the year and everything. They are, but they just don't seem like they have enough talent to be able to be really, really good. And so the question is, every team loses a game or two they're not supposed to lose, wins a game or two they're not supposed to win. Was that a game that the Browns were not supposed to lose? Like, at the end of the year, are we going to say that? And it's really hard to kind of break it down.
Because it's the first, I think as we get further and further away from it, hopefully the schedule will pan out and we'll be able to say this because I think if it doesn't go the right way, people are just going to be upset. Before we get to the calls here, I think that I would look back at this and say, man, have we really expected them to just boat race Tennessee the way they came into the season with very little preparation in the preseason? And guess what? We'll have to condone it next year. We'll have to say, hey, you're a year older. Now you've had experience with each other. Even more reason not to play in meaningless football games. Like, I can't deny, and I know Jarvis Landry doesn't want to answer this question. I can't deny that, yeah, some more experience probably would have helped you out. A little bit. Mm-hmm. A little bit. But I got to have you actually on the field for me to actually have a chance to win. So you're fighting two things there. And now you'll have experience with each other where you're probably not going to want to play them during the preseason again. So that probably hurt them. But you go, man, you're such a young team. You have very little postseason experience amongst you, which I brought that up with you numerous times. We really expected them to go in there and beat a group of grown men. Delanie Walker's 35 years old.
Right.
Like, you have veteran players there who that they're not that great of a football team, but they don't freak out. Like Carolina, I don't know how you feel about Carolina. They got some really good pieces. I watched that game over yesterday. I like to go back on Mondays and watch the condensed versions real quick. They're done by 13 twice in the third quarter. Then going into the fourth.
And they battled.
And didn't freak out. They gave up some chunk plays. They gave it up to Cooper Kupp. They gave it up to Todd Gurley. They still battled in there. Had a nice block punt. Had a couple of things go their way. They stayed within the realm of things because they're a veteran football team. You freaked out in the fourth quarter. You're not a veteran football team. I think you have the highest number of guys under 25 still in
you
the
do.
NFL.
You're so young.
So this is a crawling.
And you got a rookie head coach.
Yeah, this is a crawling situation. Hopefully you were humbled enough to understand that you got to play all 60. Because if you don't do that, they're going to beat the brakes off of you. And any team, whether it's 500 or the Patriots, they're going to beat the brakes off you every time. They get to Dan and Amherst. You're next up on the Fan. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, happy Tuesday morning, guys.
Same to you, Dan. Go ahead.
I just want to say I'd be lying if I didn't say I wasn't concerned. Does it change my win total? Not yet. It questioned things, but I read this book before. Been a Browns fan for a long time. And I think Monday night, to me at least, becomes a must-win because I understand the discipline, the talent. The thing I'm looking for is, does the play calling change? Things that I saw happening 2 or 3 years ago under Hugh Jackson, we all saw it. Things didn't change from a coaching standpoint. Clock management didn't change. Play calling didn't change. So I'm looking for, at the top, to see if the play calling changes. If you don't pass out of your end zone from this 2 yard line when you just lost your left tackle, when you're trying to establish a run game. So there's things that I'm looking for to see if they change. And to me, Monday night becomes a must win. Otherwise, you know what? Is the house on fire? It just might be. So I've read this book. So there's things that I'm looking for come Monday night to see if they change. And if they don't change, we may have a problem here.
No, I don't even know. And Dan, I'll tell you this, and I thank you for the call. I don't even know if Monday night, to say that's a must win, is a topic for discussion. I just assume it is. 216-578-0092. Andy Medina, you're next up on the Fan.
Ken, I'm with you. I'm still at 10-6. I mean, you got to find the win, though. I mean, what was the loss that you think is the win now? I actually thought we might lose the game in Denver. So maybe that's the flip there. I'm glad we're going on the road for week two. I think that actually, I know it's a big stage, but I think it reduces the pressure. We're on the road. And if anything, I think a 30-point loss can – maybe we're better off because of it. We're not going to overlook Arizona or Buffalo or Miami for that matter. And I think we're certainly not going to overlook the Patriots or the Seahawks or the Steelers. So maybe we're in a better position. Maybe 10-6 is still within the realm of possibility. But I don't know. I'm not too concerned, and I like being on the road.
I would hope, and I think that this is obviously something arguable, Andy. I think you're right about them being on the road. I think embarrassment could work out very well with young players. I think if you try to embarrass older players, that can go in a very bad direction. But when they're down, when they lose by 30 – and we're talking about them just embarrassing themselves in the fan base, I think that could probably work out better for them because they're young. And a lot of college coaches try to rub your nose in it when you try to do it to see if you can actually rise up and overcome that, Andy.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, I know Baker's in his second year, but I think everyone's convinced we got the right guy, and his mentality sets up perfect for this. And he's still going to be errant passes from time to time. He's going to have 3 interception games, but he's going to be on fire Monday night, and I just think we're in a position to look really good in that game. So we can hope for the best.
All right, Andy, thank you very much for the call.
It is such a desperate game, and I lambasted fans who thought last week was a must-win. I mean, me and you both were like, guys, this NFL doesn't work like that. But now going up against the Jets, look, this Jets team is as desperate as you are. They cannot go 0-2. They had some hype, not as much hype, obviously, as the Browns, but because of Darnold in year two, and year two quarterbacks can make a leap, and obviously he's very talented. He finished the season very strong. They want revenge. They feel humiliated for what happened last year in Cleveland. They feel like they became the whipping boy because of what happened in Cleveland. Like they got stepped over in a game that they thought they would win. And now they are sitting there at home on Monday Night Football. It is a desperate team that you're going up against. So
I think the storyline's the same for both right now.
I do. I agree.
Because there's always going to be an overreaction for the first game. And again, Sam Darnold had a part in what, 3 or 4 turnovers. He only ended up throwing I don't think he ended up throwing an interception in that game. They said he had – watching him back, he had a part in 3 or 4 turnovers there. From what I saw back on Sunday from the Browns, I think you're in the same boat where neither guy – one guy was trying too hard – I think one guy you want to see if you can push it off enough. I think Buffalo's got a better defense of what people want to give, at least give credit to. But both these teams come in with a back against the wall here mentality where if you go to 0-2, I think the whole thing with the Jets gets blown up. Is Sam Darnold what people thought Sam Darnold was going to be? Is Adam Gase really this mad genius, or is he just a goofball with googly eyes? For the Browns, is Freddie Kitchens really having that great a relationship with Baker Mayfield, or did he just get lucky in this case and the Browns made a big, big, big mistake? Is Baker Mayfield that good? Can this thing coexist? If you go to 0-2, these are storylines that go out of control for both teams. So it really does become a must win. So yeah, maybe the win total changes after Monday, but I still look at this thing and I say, man, you got too much talent to fall by the wayside and fall by the wayside that early. The thing that stands in your way are the expectations, or is the lack of experience, and at the beginning of that schedule, you got some tough teams that you have to take on. Eddie and Bratnall, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey guys. So this definitely does change my perception. the win total for the Browns, because, I mean, we were supposed to boat race Tennessee, but we were the ones that got boat raced. I think that a couple of the things that are going to be saving us in the long term is going to be when we get Kareem Hunt back in, and, you know, he starts playing and kind of mixing things up there. I mean, we just can't lob the ball down the field and expect, you know, because it's Odell that Odell's going to grab it or Landry's going to grab it. You know, first off, we got to keep Baker Mayfield upright. If we don't keep him upright, and he's always sitting on his ass, guess what's going to happen? Ball ain't going nowhere except to the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.
Okay. All right.
Look, I was surprised.
I thought that was going to a further point.
Given the last eight games.
My bad.
Of a season ago, the way that they got the ball out of Baker's hands so fast, how quickly he was processing things. And then to see game, and it was very similar to what we saw in that third preseason game where Baker was all over the board.
But you got guys who are running, especially on that play action, his first read is over to the left. Okay? So when you're dropping back, his first read is over to the left. Mm-hmm. Now that is supposed to be something that's a quick hitter. Why do you have guys that are running 10-yard out, 10 and 15-yard outs in vertical? What are you doing there? What are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? Because you have Dontrell Hilliard, I believe it was Hilliard, sitting right out there in the flat at around the 10-yard line, to 6 to 10-yard line, who was open for some sort of a throw. But if I have a short-yarded situation, which is at my own 1.5-yard line, I'm running play action, and my first read is over to the left, folks, you're not going to have time to really look over to the right. So really, it's got to be your first read. And if you're not setting that thing up that way, then how about you just run the freaking football out of there, get a little bit of breathing room, then you could try to do something like that if you really want to. But other than that, you're in an emergency mode because you don't want to give up a safety. You want to be able to get the ball out of there. And honestly, you're trying to force yourself into maybe getting a first down or maybe even another and then seeing what you can do with a drive or just getting some yardage so you get a little bit of room to punt and then go play defense again.
All right, help me out here because you were camp as much as anybody in this town. And I talked to some people about this over the last few days. And I know we're looking for reasons. We're looking for anything. So you tell me. I'm probably grasping at straws here. Mm. You tell me. I was okay with them not playing Odell and Jarvis and the skill position guys. You want guys to be healthy, and I think this team is good enough to overcome a sluggish start. So I'm okay with that. You know, if we're as good as we think we are, we should be able to do it. But help me out, Kenny, because I know this was Freddie's first go-around as a head coach. They went through a ton of bodies at wide receiver in that training camp.
Yeah.
And he was throwing to guys like Derek Willis, okay? He was throwing to guys like Jalen Strong. Even Braxton Miller showed up the last week and a half. We thought he had a chance to make the team. None of those guys are even there. So he, all of a sudden, with Callaway suspended, he's throwing to guys brand new. He never had a chance to be on the same page with a lot of these guys. Is that any excuse at all? Is that any of the reason?
An excuse? No. Because now, when you have very little interaction, and this is why I was so upset with trying to bite off more than you can chew. Like, you can go deep a couple of times, and it worked. Jarvis Landry caught a 34-yard pass down the near sideline, just seeing how we saw it, down the sideline. That was fantastic. It was a great play by both the thrower and the guy catching the ball. I can't try to do that every single time, and it seemed like they were going for home run balls all the time.
And
I know that's Jarvis, and they played together last year. You have very little rapport still with Odell Beckham Jr. or Demetrius Harris or any of that other stuff, and now you're trying to just push the ball down the field in this case, going, man, a simple 5-yard out, a drag, the little things, just to move the chains. More Nick Chubb. How many carries did Nick Chubb have through the first three quarters? Wasn't it like 11?
It was not.
What are you doing
with just that? They never did.
Nick Chubb, as bad as the offensive line might have played to some people, even though we do see from the advanced stats that maybe Baker did have some time to throw, they were still able to move the ball on the ground with Nick Chubb. For as bad as Kendall Lamb is or Eric Cush or anything like that, they were still able to move the ball.
Well, that was our nougat yesterday. We gave
one of the creamy nougats.
We gave you that yesterday in the final segment. But all I'm asking is, Ken, forget about preseason, because I think everybody is going crazy about preseason. Let's talk about training camp. This was Freddie's first training camp as a head coach. Did he have them ready? Did he have the right guys? They cycled through so many different guys at wide receiver. in the preseason. Were those wasted reps?
I think a lot of teams are.
You're right. I'm not in every other training camp. I don't know.
Because you're trying to figure out the back half of that. So you know a lot of teams know who your front three are going to be. Your first three wide receivers are going
to
be.
I'm just saying we sat there and we're like, here we go. Baker to Jalen Strong. Didn't make the team. Baker to Derek Willis. Didn't make the team.
Was it Thursday night? That third preseason game against Tampa Bay really is what changed the tide because you had guys dropping footballs. You did have guys dropping footballs. And I thought Baker was pressing in that game just like he was doing here because, again, you have very little rapport with anybody. But these are the breaks that you have to deal with because if you lose the player, if I lose Baker Mayfield, what did I really gain? The only thing
I
have to gain is experience.
I am with
you there. If I lose the player, I'm going to get fired for losing the player because I put the player in harm's way in a meaningless football game.
I'm talking more about training camp now. Not so much preseason.
He's thrown all those guys in training camp. Odell Beckham Jr. was obviously limited, but he threw to some of those guys in training camp. Jarvis Landry was limited. Damon Ratley, we didn't even see till basically, the final week? He was limited, and they liked that guy. So they put him in there as that fourth wide receiver. So you still have not a whole lot of experience with those guys against live bullets. It's one thing to meet up in L.A. and run passing routes. You remember Colt McCoy get everybody together during the lockout?
He did. Yeah.
And they all worked on it. Like, it's one thing to do it against air. It's another thing to do it in a 7-on-7. When you actually have defenses that are going to line up with veterans and go, all right, what we're going to do, because it's the early part of the season, is take away your first read. That's going to be a problem because that's what they did on Sunday. I go back to that play that happened to the goal line that shouldn't even happen. We'll take away your first read. Really, they took it away from themselves. We'll take away your first read, and now we're going to make you go out there and see what you can do and try to check through. Because eventually, Baker has been able to read defenses and check through. It's week one, and you've barely played whatsoever. And you've barely played with these wide receivers whatsoever. So you're not going to be on the same page as much.
Well, don't ask Jarvis Landry about
that. If you're trying to just chuck down the field, you're going to have a couple of problems, and you had a couple of problems. And all that is a reason why, okay, they'll get that. I'm not too worried about that. That will have to come over a period of time. It just has to happen so quickly because you have the big bad Rams coming up after the Jets, and you got to put some hay in the barn before you take on the Rams. You have to. 216-578-0092. We'll update the Would You Rathers. There's a very hot button question on there that I think a lot of people are going to be upset. So we'll update that. We got Zach coming up at 9. Did your win total change? Should they have been playing more in the preseason for this game? I think that I'm still at 10-6. Lamy, you're still at 10-6. There's 9-7. I don't think anybody's really freaking out just yet. If you have a good reason, let us know. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lyman live on the Fan. When they had a balanced approach when they were running their offense, they scored both times they had a balanced drive. Now, maybe Freddie will disagree because obviously he's the guy calling the offense and I just see, well, one's a run and one's a pass, so I got to give him a little bit more credit than what I'm giving him. But when there was balance, they scored and brought it to 15-13, and they had a nice chunk play in there too. And when they did the opening drive, there was balance, and they scored, and they led 6-0. When they tried to throw on 2nd-and-1 and then throw again on 2nd-and-1 after giving up a touchdown, and then they tried to run play action out of their own end zone, there was a problem there. When everybody freaked out after Derrick Henry scored on a great big chunk play that, yep, I know, you probably got screwed over by the refs. When Derrick Henry scored on that, there was still 15 minutes left in that football game. That's three possessions. You were down by 9. That's two scores. You get down there. If Austin Seibert can actually do what he's paid to do, you're within a touch. A touchdown wins it. And you freaked out, threw it all over the place, and then threw picks.
Did Freddie have too much faith? We know how good that we think Baker is, and obviously Freddie got the job because of what Baker did the last eight weeks. He doesn't get the job.
Yeah.
Did they have too much faith in a second-year quarterback?
They might have had too much faith in each other that it was just going to be perfectly done and done well. They might have had that faith. They might have had that faith that that was going to happen. You're going to have what they are. We were arguing about the breaks. We're during the break. Not even arguing. Is where I think that they're at right now. What do you think? At least they should be 8-8 with the talent that they have, right? So now you've gone from putrid to at least 8-8, which a lot of people say, well, you're 7-8-1 last year. That's not an improvement. No, it wouldn't be an improvement for a lot of people. But if you're at least 8-8, now you're seeing how the other half lives. You're seeing, honestly, how Tennessee lives, how Carolina lives,
Absolutely.
How teams that do have talent live.
Houston.
Exactly. Yeah. You're going to have to grind some of this out, and you got to have veterans that are there, and you're going to have to grow up soon, because it's one thing to have a bunch of young talent. They do. They have a ton of young talent. But, man, you got to be able to beat veterans. Like, the Titans might not be a playoff team. They got veterans. And so they're not going to freak out in that moment the way you did. You're going to have to grow up.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You came right down the field and scored. That crowd was going crazy. Did Tennessee panic? How about the fact that they responded with that great screenplay? They responded to adversity because they've seen it. I think you're exactly right.
Thank you.
I just think fans need to understand, and I know you guys all love football. You guys all watch football.
Yes.
But I think you're watching it differently this time. Look at the Chiefs last year. How easy on offense was it for the Chiefs last year? And yet, how many close games were they in? How about the Chargers? They're in close games every week. They went 12-4. This league is not easy for anybody. Every year, the Patriots lose to Miami. Every year.
He's like 10-17
down
there.
It is
amazing. And
Miami's
usually sucked by the time he's gone down there and played.
So why did we assume that Baker in his second year, first full year, Odell Beckham, a guy that has never won a playoff game.
Because you sucked for 18
years
previously.
Jarvis Landry. But we thought it was going to be easy.
Sucked 18 years previously. And honestly, because they were so bad previously because of that they went out and they got Odell Beckham Jr. You added Baker Mayfield, and then you added Odell Beckham Jr. And all we see is highlights during the offseason, so we think it's going to be easier. When you really got to put it into practice. And it's not Ohio State. It's not Oklahoma. It's not Alabama. It's not Clemson. You're playing against big boys every single week.
Every week.
216-578-0092. Mike in Westlake. You're next up on the Fan.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hi, Mike.
I look at it like a catch-22. So you can't play anybody in the preseason. You just can't. If they get injured, you know, it's terrible. And then on the flip side, you know, we have this completely new team, all new players, kind of a new organization. I mean, we don't even have an identity yet. And we're going to go into the first game of the season without anybody playing at all in the preseason. I mean, it's just, I don't know, it just seems like, you know, expectations might be slightly too high. You know, 10-6 sounds like a lot just because we're walking right into this season with just really not having identity and chemistry down pat yet.
Mike, yeah, and it's just, I think you're either, what's the best thing I get is more experience. And that's a good thing for the Browns, obviously. But the problem is, and thank you very much for the call, the problem is that if you lose those guys, then you got to answer to the owner. And the owner's not going to be happy, and the fans are going to be happy. And so you go into the season without all your bullets in your gun. You've already shot a couple into the air, and really, if you get guys hurt in the preseason, you shoot them into your foot. Well, then all of a sudden, who are they going to blame? The same thing with every one of these coaches. You get a guy hurt in the preseason, they're going to blame you. They're going to throw you under the bus. Owner's not going to go anywhere. The general manager's going to blame you. It just becomes a blame game. You don't want to do that. Jimmy in Youngstown, you're next up in the Fan.
How you guys doing this morning, man? I listen to you every day, and it's crazy to hear everybody overreacting. These guys can practice all they want, but it is nothing like live game experience. So you got 22 starters going in without a bit of cohesiveness together. It's going to take 2-3 weeks before we really see what this team could do. I got them going 10-6, and if they're 2-4, I think they can still go 8-2 down the stretch.
Schedule is open for them, Jimmy. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I am not scared. All I care about is the first 4 to 5 weeks of seeing improvement. If I see that come week 6-7, I think they could just take off down the stretch. The talent is there. They just got to learn how to play together.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, they can practice all they want, but it's nothing like the game. The game, I was there. The score does not reflect what I seen. You know, the score was way out there.
It was sloppy, and thank you very much for the call. It was sloppy, but it was tight, and you had the roster you could have won. It was 15-13. If and people are going to blame the refs, fine. And I know we're doing ifs and buts, but there were a lot of things. If you would have just composed yourself, you would have been in a much better situation. You probably could have won. You would have put yourself in a position to win. But I think Freddie freaked out a little bit. I definitely think Baker tried to play hero ball the way Bill Barnwell described it. I thought it was perfect. And I think you got beat by a bunch of grown men. You have a young team that were beat by grown men on Sunday. It can't be that way next Monday. Just can't be that way. You got to go out there and beat the Jets.
We're going to learn a ton. This team.
Before you take on the Rams and you take on the Ravens, and then you got to go to the West Coast and then come back. It's going to get tougher before it gets easier. 216-578-0092. Coming up, we got the news dump in just about 20 minutes as well. Listen, if you don't want beer tossed on you, Don't go jumping in the stands.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.